Social Services Minister Scott Morrison joins me every Monday. He's in our Canberra studio this morning. Minister, good morning.
G'day, Ray.
Since you took over this ministry, this portfolio, you've spoken about the need to crack down on welfare rorts. Yesterday it was revealed a senior Australian Federal Police officer will be appointed to coordinate this crackdown. The Welfare Fraud Task Force will focus on recovering money from people who've underestimated their income or lied while receiving payments, including Newstart, Youth Allowance, Disability Support and Age Pension. How will they do that exactly?
Well, what we found in my previous portfolio is when you bring a sort of a law enforcement focus to these sorts of issues, you get a lot of clarity. That's what police are good at. And we've had great people working in human services on these issues for many years. But I think what this does is give a real sort of operational focus to how you go about finding people who are doing this and then making sure that you're stamping out the rorts. And this is important because 8 out of 10 income taxpayers go to work every day and they expect to pay for our welfare bill. That's what it takes. And they expect the government to make sure the system has integrity. So that's what this officer will do as part of a team of people working not just within the Department of Human Services, but reaching out into other agencies. And you would have noticed the other announcement which was flagged today, and that's by Minister Payne and Minister Dutton, where we'll have Immigration and Human Services working together to make sure that those people who are claiming single benefits when they're actually in have partners are no longer able to do that, and we track them down through the data matching.
It was mentioned yesterday in the report you'll target high-risk geographic hotspots. Where are those hotspots?
Well, I'm not about to tip that off, Ray, but what we do know is you do see patterns, and when you've got the ability to do that through your data analysis and so on, you do get a sense of where things are going on, and you pick up your intelligence and you act on it. And 131524 is the fraud tip-off line, and we're always keen for people in the community to help us out with that. Someone always knows when they know someone in the community who's having a loan of the system, and it's important that they pass that on to us. But equally, if people need to update their own arrangements in their own situations, then it's important they can do that. Now, you can do that on the mygov.au website, but you can also do it by ringing 136240.
Now, I would imagine that I'll have a guess. The high-risk geographic hotspots are those areas where more people receive benefits than other areas because, therefore, there's a higher percentage of them that are abusing the benefits. So, in other words, if 10% of the population in one area get benefits and another area 48% of them, I'm tipping the place where 48% is the place where abuse is happening.
Well, you go fishing where the fish are, eh? And that's what we'll be doing.
Speaking of rorts, and you mentioned this, the Daily Telegraph has the details of a $132 million marriage welfare rort. Now, there is a court case unrelated to this in Brisbane at the moment about, arranged marriages and young women being paid for these marriages. But apparently fake couples are marrying to gain Australian visas. Then they claim separate welfare benefits. Now, it's largely an immigration rort, but what do you know about it given the drain on Centrelink?
Well, what we're particularly cracking down on here are those who are Australian citizens, Australian residents, who are actually in relationships with people they're looking to sponsor for permanent visas. So they're actually in a relationship and they're not declaring that. And that's what people have to do. Now, legitimately, from time to time, people don't update their arrangements, and they know that if they don't do that, it's up to them to do that, not for the government to come and find you. If you don't update your arrangements, then you can face penalties and other things down the track when you pay the money back. So I would implore all Australians who are receiving benefits to keep their details up to date, because if you don't, it's your responsibility. Then there are penalties that do apply.
There was another one recently where the Telly and the Courier Mail reported cruise passengers have come forward saying they've been cut off from welfare after going on a cruise. It appears that while immigration officials are processing the return of the cruise ships, there was a glitch in getting that information back to Centrelink. Has that been rectified?
Well, there are portability conditions on people's benefits. I mean, for example, on the DSP, if you go away for more than 6 weeks, then your DSP cuts off. Now, if you come back within 13 weeks, then it starts again. But like people who go to work every day, they don't get 13 weeks holidays a year. They don't get 6 weeks holidays a year. And the DSP is a income support payment. It's not holiday pay.
Yes, but these people had returned within the required time, according to the report in the Telegraph.
Oh, well, in cases where there are glitches, Ray, they need to be rectified, and
so
those things will get sorted
out.
I'm not aware of that case specifically, Ray, but Human Services will be, and Maurice Payne will be, and those sorts of things will get sorted out. But the principle is important, that if you're on a disability support pension Then it's not holiday pay. I mean, it's there because you have a disability and you need support. But those payments are typically paid to people who are of working age.
Okay. Now, this story that Samantha Maiden wrote in the Sunday Telegraph, Australian Labor Party call for the Aussie jihadist to be jailed, not deported. Labor has questioned plans to revoke the citizenship of dual national terrorists, arguing Australia would be safer if jihadists were jailed. I don't think they will be, because there's evidence across jails, particularly in New South Wales, of those of the Islamic faith going to inmates who are vulnerable, gullible, and plain stupid, and enlisting them into their deadly deeds. Why can't we get Bill Shorten to actually agree to a really good idea by the Australian government?
Because he's soft on these issues, Ray. That's the bottom line. They're double-minded on all of these things. I mean, this first came up when I was Immigration Minister, and we began the work on what is now being floated, and you know, there may be announcements later this week more formally on this issue. But, I mean, the problem is if you're a citizen, you have a legal right to re-enter the country, even if you don't have a passport. And the issue here is what they've been up to, and frankly, you don't want them coming back in these circumstances. Once they get over there, Ray, they change radically, and the idea that they can somehow rehabilitate on their return, I think, is pretty far-fetched. So you need to wherever you can, prevent them from coming back, and if they do come back, then you lock them up.
Daryl's just phoned to say he used to work for Centrelink. He's suggesting we should link study benefits to school attendance generally. Is it not already?
Well, it is in theory. It is.
What
in
about
theory.
In practice?
Well, in practice, you need to, you know, enforce that. You need to implement it. I mean, that's what the requirement is. That's what you're supposed to be doing. And if people are found not to be doing that, then obviously they're in breach of how they're receiving their entitlements. And that's why, Ray, we've put a lot more resource in this budget into enforcement and compliance in the welfare system. That is the tougher cop on the welfare beat that we promised.
I talk to mates and they joke. I say, oh, where's your mum and dad? They say, oh, they've gone on a world cruise. They're spending my inheritance. And we laugh about it, you know. And most people I know, male or female, want mum and dad to spend as much as they can in retirement and have a really good time.
Yes.
Today you've urged retirees not to hoard the super, to pass on the savings to children. You say the purpose of providing tax incentives to encourage people to build up their super is so they can draw it down in retirement, not use it as a nest egg for the next generation.
Well, that's right, because, I mean, the tax incentives that are given for superannuation, which we strongly support and we don't want to take away, the Labor Party wants to take those away, what we want to do is encourage people to save for their retirement. But then when you're in retirement, that's what you draw on, not the pension. The whole point of putting those incentives in place is so people don't have to draw down on a pension. And we know, particularly in, say, the last 5 years in which people are drawing a pension, almost two-thirds of them have the same level of assets or increasing their levels of assets. So it's not designed for people to take it with them or hand on. It's there to ensure that they can have a good retirement, a good standard of living. And so the changes we're making to the pension, first of all, I should stress that anyone affected by the changes who may no longer get a part pension will get the Commonwealth Seniors Health Card. So that will give them the same concessions on pharmaceuticals, bulk billing and all of those things. That won't change. But for those on low level of assets, 170,000 people will get a higher pension, and those on much higher levels of assets, some four times what the average pensioner has who has superannuation, well, we're asking them to draw down on the superannuation that they saved for and got the tax incentives for to ensure that they could have that quality of life in retirement.
I note that the front page of the Fairfax today has found the analysis from the National Centre for Social and Economic Modelling has shown that you are not looking after the lowest income earners. In fact, they say families with children on the lowest income will bear the brunt of the federal government's budget cuts, while high-income families will actually see their disposable income increase. Who is the National Centre for Social Economic Modelling?
Well, it's a modelling outfit that particularly the Labor Party likes to use, and ACOS
do they
and others.
Do they have their basis in the Labor Party? Is it?
Oh, look,
are they sympathetic to the cause?
That, but they get a fair bit of work from them. But I'm not having a crack at them. I'd simply say,
well, he who pays the pays the piper calls the tune.
Well, what their analysis doesn't do is understand this fundamental proposition: the best form of welfare is a job, not something you get from Centrelink. And what the analysis does not take into account is that What we've put into small business, which will create jobs and help people get into jobs, what we're doing for young people who choose, who we want them to choose to get out there and get in a job, doesn't take that into account. And on childcare, for example, the $3.5 billion, which is going to low and middle income earners to help them work more, what it doesn't take into account is them earning more through their own efforts to get themselves off welfare. And see, under us, we think that, you know, more welfare and higher taxes is not the way forward. What Bill Shorten is saying is he wants a bus to run from the school gate to Centrelink from the moment someone leaves school. And that's not what we think is the right thing.
Okay, two other matters. A lot of talk about gay marriage after the Irish decision. 1.9 million people, 1.2 said yes, gay marriage is acceptable. More Australian politicians say they're now supporting gay marriage, which of course doesn't require a referendum here. Where do you think we're headed with this one?
Well, it'll be considered by the Parliament, I assume, at some point. Mm. I mean, my position has never changed on this and isn't going to. That's a matter of conscience for me, and I respect the conscience of other members.
Right.
It's a change to the Marriage Act. It's not a change to the Constitution, which is the point the Prime Minister was making. So that's not the mechanism to change this in this country. But look, everyone in Australia, I think, has a view about this, and that's fair enough. And I think we should all treat each other with respect about the different views that we have. I have my view. I don't support the change. I don't go around ramming that down others' throats. But that's my view, and I intend to stick to it.
When did Parliament last deal with this matter?
There was some private members' bills, if I recall, in the last Parliament from the Greens.
Yeah.
I stand corrected on that. It's not an issue I follow closely, and because frankly, I'm more interested in getting Australians into jobs. I was interested in stopping the boats and doing all those sorts of things, which the Australian people elected us to do, and frankly, that's what we're focused on.
Now, do you think there's any substance to the story today in News Limited that Kevin Rudd's been slammed by a Chinese academic who says the former PM has overstated his expertise in China because he speaks Mandarin?
I don't know, Ray.
It's handy when you're ordering, you know, in Hong Kong or Beijing, but I would imagine that in most other instances, you know, most people I ran into in Beijing when I was there for the Olympics spoke English, actually.
Well, I remember what Kevin had to say about the Chinese some years ago at the climate change conference in Copenhagen. Maybe they're remembering.
Just remind us what he said.
No, I don't think I will. It's a family program.
Mind you,
I expect there are a few tradies out there who know exactly what I mean.
All right, we'll talk next week. Thanks very much.
Thanks a lot, Ray. Good to be with you.
Minister Scott Morrison, Social Services Minister, every Monday.